Yeah, we on Boss Talk 101. Yeah, we gon' talk, we gon' have fun. We be on fire, we be lit. It's a unique hustle.
Check it, it's a unique hustle. It's your boy, ECO, and I'm here with the lovely, amazing official, Miss Jamaica. What's going on?
None, you know, my dad, well, go on. I want y'all to stop what you're doing right now. Go like, subscribe, follow us on all social media platforms. And I mean our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you name it, we're on it. Just Google us, Boss Talk Podcast 101. We pop up first in line, I guarantee you. But let me tell you, y'all see us on the street and be like, man, I love what y'all doing. I love the content. Keep up the good work. How can we support a brand? This is how you can support a brand. Under each and every video, including this one right here in the description section below, there's a link that says join a membership on our YouTube channel. Join that membership. You get all the exclusive content that, man, everybody been asking us where it is. That's how you can support a brand. Thank you in advance, and we love you.
Hey, man, listen, man. Check it, man. Your boy E back in the building, man. We got a guy in here today. He don't really need no introduction. This guy, listen, if you ever get into the music and your music just ain't sounding all the way right, you need to get with this guy right here. He been dealing with a lot of music, man, in a lot of time, man. He spent a lot of time in them stews, right?
Yes, sir.
That boy Killshot is in the building. What's going on, man?
Appreciate y'all for having me.
Man, thank you for coming, man. Like I said, man, there's only one thing that got you here, man. And who is that, baby? You ought to know. Key Glock around this hoe, man. Yeah. I love some Key Glock, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. She know that.
I know you played it.
I used to play it a lot in this store, like before, like years ago when Dolph was alive, and that was one of my main things. I really didn't rock with Dolph like I did Key Glock even when he was alive. It was just something about Key Glock. It's just something about him. He seemed like a real, like he seemed real, cool, calm, and collective. You know. But let's get to it, Mr. Jamaica.
So, were you born and raised where? Here?
Detroit,
Michigan. Yep.
The boy Detroit, from Michigan. Detroit where they do all the Tubi movies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Facts. Go ahead.
So, what part exactly of Detroit?
So, I traveled around. Like, I was born in Macomb Township.
Okay.
Spent, like, a lot of time, like, Livonia, like, 13 miles, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then my dad used to work at the Flint International Airport. So he
messed that water up.
Yeah, facts.
Damn.
At the airport, how you messed the water up?
Nah, that water was messed up down there. And just like in Jackson, I keep up with everything.
Back then, you did.
What was your mom doing?
Go ahead.
Stay at home mom.
Kind of like what you be doing, staying at the house.
And edit in and no, work.
Cool. I'm not gonna go there.
At home. Just like you.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
let's get it.
How many kids does she have? Just you?
I got a brother and a sister.
And where do you fall in between them?
I'm the middle child.
You're the middle child.
Yeah.
So what do they say about middle kids? They said middle kids are very nonchalant or entitled. Which one?
Well, J. Cole had a whole damn song about it. The middle child. You got to go listen to it. It's a banger.
Yeah.
So was he true?
Facts.
So growing up in Detroit, tell me what it was like, your environment. What was it like? And was your mom and dad in the same household, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I was like real small, mm-hmm. like used to not be great, like trailer park type, like lower level income stuff.
Right.
My dad was an air traffic controller. So like sometime in my older childhood, I would say, like I was like middle class, like decent off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Dallas like because of his job. He worked at the airport, started working at DFW.
How old were you when you moved to Dallas?
That's a good question. 2006. So like 10.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you spent most of your life out here in Dallas.
Yeah, facts. I claim Dallas, really, but you know, if you know, you know.
Okay. But Detroit, okay, so that's before 10. So you weren't really like in the streets running around. Your parents probably kept you inside all the time.
Nah, I was an inside kid when I was wee small.
Okay.
After like 14 is when I jumped off the porch.
In Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how would you describe, okay, for the things you remember about Detroit, what is the difference to you between Detroit and Dallas?
I would say, like, there's a million ways to get everywhere in Detroit. Like, every street connects to the next one. You mm-hmm. can go, like, any which way. It's kind of all proximity. In Texas, there's only one way to get somewhere, and it's I-35. And you motherfucking catch I-35 at the wrong time, you're not getting nowhere.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Yeah, like, just also, you know, they'll say, like, oh, it's right up the street. Mm-hmm. Like, in Michigan, that means, like, 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. In Texas, that means, like, 15 minutes, you know?
Or an hour. Okay, got it. So, were you always loving music as a kid growing up? Who influenced you? Like,
We're not going to play with you today. She don't even fool with the music like that. She's Jamaican. Your name ain't Beanie Man. It's not going down like that today.
Yeah. I ain't getting into the music. I want to know, like, who did you hear playing music? Was your mom, your dad, your older sibling that really got you into, like, listening to the music?
Definitely my dad. Okay. So my dad was a drummer. Oh, like, okay. I've been drumming since, like, a very small age. I was in band, middle school, high school. Like, always been around it. Mm-hmm. I didn't start listening to rap music, though, till I was, like, a freshman in high school.
I was about to say, cause if you were doing drumming and stuff like that, what kind of music was that? It was, like, mainly... Like,
AC/DC, Van Halen, Ozzy Osbourne, Pantera. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what I grew up on. And then it shifted. Like, my dad was, like, a huge music head. So, like, I also grew up on, like, Barry Manilow and, like,
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, so.
Okay, that's dope. And your mom, she wasn't into it as much.
My mom loves music, too, but she loves, like, the girl power groups of, like, the 80s, you know?
Like who?
You're putting me on the spot.
Because I know she played it around the house when she was cleaning.
Say something.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Get up on it, man.
Yeah.
Tell her, girl, just want to have fun.
Madonna?
Yeah, all of them. All them. Surely. Yeah. She was jumping on it like that.
Cindy Lauper.
Yeah, there you go. Of course. That's easy. And she even listened to a little Paul McCartney. She also was running around listening to a little bit of, I Love Rock and Roll every now and then.
I love Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them. I heard he was, well, I ain't going to say it, but I'm going to, you know, I might get banned. Because
I think he started that trend with the one earring thing. I really think that
was it on the right side or the left side?
That I don't remember.
Well, that matters. Back in them days, it mattered. You know what I'm saying? Then start getting to the P. Diddy came out doing them freak offs. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Say, let's get to it, man. So you got to tell me about how it was, you know what I'm saying, linking up with Key Glock. Let's start with Key Glock. Like,
sure.
How do you even link up with these people? First of all, shout out to Rock T, who's seen me and fanned out when he met me at the dollar store before I even had this. Yeah. And he seen me. He was like, it's a unique hustle. Oh, man, I be watching you. Oh, you fanned out on me. But where you at now, nigga? I ain't seen you since this jumped off. Yeah. Where is he at? You be talking to him?
Yeah, me and Rock T just did
for
Kodak.
Let him know. Yeah, I went on Boss Talk with your OG, and he said you missing in action, man.
Yeah, I'm going to let him know.
And he going to see it, because I'm that one. You're But I loved his energy. He was a dope dude. He was dealing with, what's that boy, Money Man? He was doing a lot of stuff with Money Man. He did some stuff with a bunch of people, and it was just dope to see him after I had met him as a kid. And he was like, I'm going to tell my brother I met you. And it's always a story I'll always keep dear to heart, because I seen him grow and go, and I respect that.
This is what I say about Rock T. Nobody in the whole state of Texas is making more beats than him.
Oh, he a bad boy.
He literally sends me 100 beats a day. I'm not even kidding you.
I believe it. That's why he can't call me or come on the show.
He lives in the studio.
Nigga live in the studio, but I done seen him on a few shows. I got a little jealous, though.
Outperforming everybody.
Yo,
he been on podcasts?
I seen the nigga on the podcast with a record or something. The nigga was holding a record. I said, look at this nigga.
And ain't come over here.
Yeah, that's all right, though. We got Mr. Lee coming. Don't make me go there. You know, I got some, nigga, I got some. You heard me say Bonsai. I got some. Yeah. I got the OGs that come on here. And it's understandable because... You gotta understand these kids. I seen last time we was together at the Guitar Center, and it's a different. You know what I mean? It's levels to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get more of the people that's the OGs a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? But then I'll reach and grab somebody like you, or then I'll go. You know, I'll jump down. Me and Lefty Gunplay. You know, I deal with a lot of people, man. So I grab the who God give to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not picky at all when it come down to who he say to put on this show. You know what I'm saying? So if I ask you or reach out to you and I don't get you, God got that happening for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And I'm cool with that because I'm listening. I'm trying to make sure we level up. But just to be able to work with him and to see him like you have, and him being in Dallas and doing that many beats, what does that do for you to see him hustle that hard?
Man, just number one, it's motivation. Number two, it's like alignment. You know, like I feel like, and this is me being in my super ego maybe, but I feel like I'm outworking everybody. Like the results I have was not by mistake. This was from dedication, passion, ambition, and risk taking.
Wow.
Like to find someone else who like is on that same wavelength is just a rare thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a certain appreciation. And then as I said, like me and him did this shit with Kodak recently.
I seen that.
You know,
that's dope.
Continuing to go up.
So how did y'all end up linking with Kodak? Was it him that had linked with him? Yeah, or?
I actually linked with Kodak. So I was just on tour with him in Sexy Red through October, November, and part of December.
Yeah.
Last year. Was blessed, you know.
That's
got to
dope.
See a bunch of shit. Worked with like a ton of artists on the road too.
Who all did you work with on the road?
Man, so the tour was like Sexy Red, Kodak, Huncho, and Bossman and D-Lo.
Man.
And then we got like French Montana, the JT from the City Girls joined up, Ice Spice joined up. Like every city we went to, there was like a different artist. But one of the ones I got to do musically was like Kodak and Yeet's song Be Quiet.
Wow.
I got to record Kodak on that, and that was definitely a big one. I think it's up over 10 million streams. It's been out like a month.
Man, you know the good thing about it, man. I sit here and watch God. God's something else, bro. Like I had a guy here named Jay Tyler. Shout out to Jay Tyler. Dope dude. I remember he grew up, first time he put the camera in his hand was right in his store, right? And I'm going somewhere with this. Next thing I look up, and he was so ambitious, he ended up moving to Miami. I look up, he do the whole video for, you remember 6ix9ine and Kodak did that video together?
I don't remember.
You remember that, don't you? Jay Tyler, everybody was criticizing Kodak for doing it because they were saying he was a snitch. And he did it, and my little homie that left this store recorded that video. Then he went to Japan. He fly. He was young. I took him to Vegas, Cali, wherever I was going, and I talked to him the other day and moved to Japan. He act like he wasn't coming back, but he back now. So at the end of the day, man, it's just dope. You never know what God doing with the people that he put in your life. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, sure.
So when I watch these kids like Rock T, like Jay Tyler, like Taylor Gabriel, who a multimillionaire in Dallas that played for the Chicago Bears, and he grew up in this store as well. Like, and Mr. Hit That, I seen you talking to him. He come through here at an early age before he was Mr. Hit That. So when you've been in the hood, you done watched all these kids develop, man, and turn into men, family men, who taking care of their family. And I think that's the dopest thing, just to see them and to be able to be a part of hearing them say, man, I remember me, you and your wife were hustling here together, man, and just to see y'all the way y'all was helped us to understand that, you know, we could do it. Yeah. That's the part what I think is more important to me than anything else I do. The fact that I can be an example to somebody that you can make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now let's get off of me. But boy, I had to say that because it was on my heart.
But I'm curious. You know what I'm saying? Did you always, growing up, did you always want to get into music though?
Honestly, nah. Like,
what did you want to be?
I actually wanted to be like a video director or like a video game designer. Mm-hmm. Like that was like my, I wanted to make movies or I wanted to make video games. I used to play like a bunch of video games as a kid, and it was just like I grew up in a crazy time, you know, like the whole digital revolution happened, right? Like from not quite my birth, but very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
when did you ever buy a camera? Like when did you?
Yeah, like
how old were you when you got your first camera?
That's a good question. So
and what kind did you get?
A Canon 80, 40.
Do you remember?
I don't remember. Like, but like, so my dad really like, I gotta give it to my pops. Like, he was into like a lot of stuff. Whether it was music, whether it was like his job, he was into photography. He was really big into the internet and like coding and web design and shit like that. So from like a little kid, I'm like watching him do all this stuff. And at the time, I didn't really have a concept. But like as I matured, I realized like, damn, I kind of know a lot about a lot of shit, and that helped me to like hone in more towards the music, because I spent my whole life doing music. I just was never really locked in. Like, I wasn't trying to play Beethoven. I was trying to play Zaytoven.
Come on, man. Shout out to Zay, man. Zaytoven, man. You owe me an interview with you. Come on now. You know we talked about this. But anyway. No, I might trip every now and then. Don't even trip off of me. Just keep going. No, like you, like a car passing by. What are you doing over there? But you never stop. Just keep going. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So you basically go in there. You hear the music. You hear the beat. they send you a beat, then you turn around and you mix it down to where it sounds crisp and there's no flaws. Yep. How long did it take you to master that concept?
That's a really good question. I'd say like probably like three dedicated years, but it took way longer than that. Like you kind of get an idea of what sounds good early on, but being able to judge your own mix objectively is the hardest part. Like you can damn near trick yourself into believing something sounds good, especially you turn the volume up all the way. Like everything sounds good when it's loud. So being able to just like sit back, be objective, reference on different listening devices, this is what brings you like clarity.
Wow. One of the things that I noticed that I seen, and shout out to Yella Beezy, he finally came through and hollered at your boy. I see that you work with him some. Like, how was that working with him? And was it at the peak of his career, or was it or was it before That's On Me, his big song, or was it after?
It was after. Okay. So I've done a lot of stuff like kind of with Yella. The first one that I did with him was like the song Trap Jumpin'. It was really for Bobby Bill.
Oh man, that was my jam. Yeah, I like, so yeah, man.
I recorded him and Trap Boy and Bobby.
I love Trap Boy, man. Love, yeah. Bobby. Bobby been on here a few times.
Yeah.
I went down to Houston to interview Bobby. Love Bobby, them boys, folk, man. Good people,
and
man.
And then the second time, there were a few other times I worked with him too, but like the second time I really did some shit for him was he did a session with Polo G.
Okay.
And like
okay.
Polo is the one that called me, but it was really Yella's session.
Yeah.
So I did like a couple songs for him. And if he watching this, I don't know why he ain't dropped this song, Fuck Everybody, that had a Polo G verse on it. He dropped it without Polo. That shit was a banger. Like, I'm going to have to play that for
you
later. Well,
you know, I ain't going to lie to you. That was one of the songs I wasn't up on, you know. I liked the Stevie Wonder. I liked all of those ones that he done. Man, yeah. He very creative. He's very, you know, but that was one where I just felt like it was like out of frustration kind of for me, you know, because you got people that's out here that really love him, and I feel like, damn, sure, that song kind of is dissing a lot of, you know, it's F everybody, and it's like I can't see it that way.
All I'm saying is, if you'd have heard Polo's verse, it changed the whole dynamic of that song.
That's probably why he took him off. He wanted to let people know, like, he don't give a damn about nobody.
I'm telling you, that
Polo
G was
trying to bring him back. He like, get that. I'm doing.
I seen the Instagram preview, and I was kind of like, damn, the song with Polo finna come out. Like, I got another one. And then it dropped, and I'm like, what the fuck, Polo?
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, I think, like I said, Yella definitely dope. I'm not going to, you know, he got the big song. He did a lot more than a lot of people who do this, you know. A lot of people saying they do this music, right? And nice. A lot of people are young, but no, they don't have big songs like him. It's a lot of people hadn't got that big song. I don't even think Trap Boy hadn't got a big song yet. You know what I mean? He got that one that with the girl named, what's the little girl be? She was on there. It's one song he got where she be in that damn car. I love that song too. I can't even think of it. I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I know he don't have like that song is massive. The Road Got Ice Cream Paint Job. You know,
sure,
these are big songs, huge songs. People don't realize that can take them the rest of their career. And at the end of the day, Kiki, he was just on here, got the South Side. Like, you need a big song. You need a song. And a lot of time they don't have it. I guess Big X song would be Texas, what everybody know him for. So, you know, and but I think Big X has changed the game just the way he carries himself and the way he's carrying the torch for what he's doing. Because a lot of time what he's doing is new to a lot of people that's seeing it in this stage in life. Like, when you look at the timeline we in right now, we can try to go back. We're not selling hand-to-hand CDs no more, tangible things. So watching everybody in their element during their time, you have to look at them as such. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So how did you adjust all these years of seeing the music transition the way it has from, you know, from being the way it was when it first started when you was in the game to seeing all the new equipment that came out, and you had to transition to the new equipment and try to figure out what was the new, you know, the new software, the new stuff that made the music sound more, you know, more in tune than what you had been used to?
So I'd say the main thing that gave me like insight beyond anything else is like I was the engineer. So like in so many cases, like I'm in the studio with the manager, with the artist, with the producer, with the A&R from the label, with, you know, the dude that does marketing, with the booking agent, with the tour manager. And it was like, I got to hear a lot and learn a lot as like a fly on the wall, that then you start realizing like, damn, they kind of do the same things. Like, these people know each other and do business together. Like, oh wow, like selling merch is like the real way to make a bag on this shit. Like, and then you start kind of being like, well, if they can do it, so can I. So you put together that game plan and you scale and you grow. And just one thing is like always being open to information. Like, I live by like the code, like you can never stop learning, because that's the day you're going to fall behind.
That's real.
Shit just change and change and change. And like, change is actually a good thing. A lot of people be like, no, I don't want to change. But like, you're going to get stuck in that complacent spot, and it's just going to be like purgatory for you.
That's real.
And not even just that. That information can come from anybody, because some people feel like if you're not above me, you can't tell me nothing. You see what I mean?
Surely.
Just like how you say you were in there as a fly on the wall, you were hearing so much, you're absorbing so much. So even you could have told and educated so many other people on things.
Surely.
That's real. When you think about it, like I'm nervous about different things right now. You know, they got different apps coming out, TikTok going away and all kind of stuff. You know, they got, what is the name, Lemonade and
Red Note.
Like, I don't know if I want to get on it. I'm hesitant. It just came out. I don't know. Yeah. I need to jump on it, though, because it's probably going to spiral into out of control and I can make a bag off of it.
Why, you know what I'm saying? Why let China steal our information from TikTok when you can voluntarily give it to them?
That's what my daughter said. My daughter said, because she's like, she don't know what she's going to do without TikTok, because TikTok is her Google. Anything she want to know, she go on TikTok. She don't even use Google. She don't use nothing else.
Crazy.
So I'm like, so what you going to do? She's like, oh, everybody going to Red Note. I'm like, but she's like, Red Note is ran by Chinese. And I'm like, they're purposely going over here to tell like the government, screw you type of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about me. I'm kind of holding back. I'm holding on. You know, I'm on old Facebook and Instagram with old Mark Zuckerberg. You know what I'm saying? Just holding on with all their life.
That's what they feel like us older people supposed to go to.
That's fine.
Anyway.
That's fine. I'll be whatever I need to be in my zone. You know what I'm saying? Everybody need to play their position in a game. You got to play your position. I'm playing mine. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at like all of the things, was you an Eminem fan up there?
Kind of. Crazy. Like
13 mile, before, 8 mile. What's up with the 13 mile versus the 8 mile?
8 mile like is like, not good. Like 7 mile, even worse. 6 mile, hella bad. You know what I'm saying? Like 13, like you kind of getting out of the hood, but you're still like on that border. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like I'd say like 17 mile, like 21 mile, that's when you're like in the suburbs out the way.
Wow. When you got into this, have there been times when you've been in the studio and you working with somebody and you know that another guy might be about to show up and it could be a conflict? Have you ever seen this kind of thing happen?
So, me personally, just because of how I move, like there's zero probability or possibility of that, because I'm pretty savvy. I'm going to do my research on who I'm working with. But like, definitely I've seen other situations where I'm like, you know, so-and-so's at the studio right now.
Wow.
And they're like, oh shit, like I ain't even know.
Wow.
And I'm like, damn, like that's not the way to be moving, because that's just reckless. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Especially if you're the studio owner or whatever, like you got to have your shit on lock, because who they going to blame some shit go down?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
What do you think about the podcasters in, you know, because Dallas is ramped up when it comes down to social media platforms, you know? I mean, of course, you know, I done razzle dazzled you with my whole setup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what do you think about just the way podcasting and the way that media has moved when it come down to the industry? Because we didn't have this, say, maybe even 5 to 8 years ago where it was this in your face and people could just speak on things. And how do you think it affects people's music career as well? There's a couple of questions I put in there for you.
Okay. Oof. Loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I think that the social media aspect has turned a lot of artists into like social media influencers, because they don't have a hit record, they don't have a Googleable name, they don't have a catalog of music, they don't have any value as an artist, but they have like some motion as like a personality. So that's kind of fueled that. And then additionally, what I'll say is, like, as great as the outlet of social media or like maybe YouTube is, real journalism is a written up article, like in a publication, and that's something we have almost nothing of out here.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but I'm 90%
real sure. Real journalism.
the Dallas Morning News is the biggest news outlet in Dallas right now.
Right.
We don't have TMZ. We don't have People Magazine. We don't have E! News. We don't have Forbes. We don't have nothing that highlights the entertainment industry out here. And that's why we're kind of behind like a Los Angeles or a New York or even a Miami, which has obviously had a big up like surge of people being there. But specifically in the music scene, like you go to Miami right now, guaranteed you're meeting at least 10 rappers.
Well, I think one of the things you said is so dope is really you might meet those 10 rappers, but still, being you from the Midwest, like when you look, all the information is pushed down upon us. A lot of our patriarchs, I'm an OG, I'm an older cat, you know, and I seen how they pretty much, they would show reference to some and exclude others throughout the hip-hop game that they've played with everybody. And sure, when you start to look at our patriarchs and some of the people that's down here, you won't get that you won't get that Super Bowl performance from Lil Wayne. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get it from nobody in the South like that. Let's just be real. You might get it from a Beyonce because of who she's with, of course, or you might get it from, I don't even think you get it from Erykah Badu. You see what I'm saying? Because you got to understand, when you start to turn the needle, you start to turn the knob and you start to change things. But if you can hold it in a position, then you, at the end of the day, keep people from entering into a door that they've been held out of for many years. So I think that's the part where people start, they forget about. These doors have never opened for these guys. The only reason they was able to do things because people like P, you know, they were independent and they made their way. You had to respect them. You know, they went out and hand-to-hand it. Or Slim Thug and all these guys who sold in Texas, Flip, Lil Flip. Sure. They did it here. They didn't need nobody else. And then they still, we don't have to have nobody's approval to make money with our people who love us. You know that, right? That's why Boss Talk, that's why Say Cheese, that's why Big Facts, Beehive, they don't have to be on a list up at Complex. Right. Because our people love us down here. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's what keep us going. Sure. Nobody ain't going to put us on no list. We got to become our own list. And it don't matter. And it's an A-list because our people love us. I go anywhere, they love me. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with you. Same thing with what y'all doing. You know, you may not. You seen engineers who get that, you know, that wink, wink. You know what I'm saying? Everybody love them.
Yeah.
You was like, damn, man, I know I do a damn good job. I wonder why they ain't looked at mine like that. Why? Because at the end of the day, the music that you're catering to and the people that you're catering to, they under the Mason-Dixon line. You ain't ready, man. You know what I'm saying? It's where you at. It's your demographic.
Sure then.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So how do we fix that? That's a great analogy, what you just spoke. We have to come up with a way to make that TMZ, to make that. We got to get behind these platforms. Because I'm telling you, people like Say Cheese, they do news and stuff all the time. It's just not geared toward us yet.
Right.
But we got to figure out how to make us something that's geared toward what you guys do. An article being wrote today that Killshot was on Boss Talk 101 going out tomorrow and hitting different, you know what I mean, getting different hits in different states and different cities that cross, you know, all type of lines. You know what I mean? That's how that happens. So and we've been working on that. Mm-hmm. This is something I've been working on fiercely. So for you to speak on it is crazy. But I've been already working on it because that's what I think. I think like that.
Yeah.
Because I know we need it, because that's what we're missing. And if we can paint our own stories, this is a start, but this is not the finish for us. You know what I mean? Same. We got to find those people to write those articles and to get behind what we're doing. So it ain't really just, the movement is there. We just need the people to come in and show, put an eye on it, the right people. And it don't even have to be nobody that's, it don't have to be no, it just need to be our people. I'm being honest.
Surely. Yeah.
You know, just think about it. You don't have to, you can change the game. So what do you think about, I asked you, you know, who's New Dallas? What do you think about New Dallas? When you see these guys and what they're doing, what do you think?
Number one, support all of the New Dallas movement. I think it's like, you know, in the right direction for sure. There's not enough orchestration in the city, though, to, like, really blow it up as, like, the full movement. Like, we got a few of the artists that are taking off out of there. They have their own situations going, and that's, like, very commendable. And I known Montana for a long time. I fuck with Doe. Like, I just did some engineering on the song Painting Pictures that came out for him. Like, those two are definitely leading the way a lot. But in terms of, like, their full movement coming together, like, that should be, like, the staple of the city with everything else funneling around it, and it doesn't feel that way. It feels like they're the leader with a lot of people, like, still not really, like, following the movement. And when I say people, I mean, like, in the entertainment industry. Because if we go to the club, like, I'll hear Zillionaire Doe Back to the South playing, but I don't hear Montana shit playing, if I'm being real. I fuck with Montana. So, like, it's things like that that our own DJs in the city need to be promoting this shit, too. Because that's how we get ticket sales. That's how we sell the merch. That's how we drive traffic. Like, that's what's going to give them a lot more value in the eyes of a major label. Because if you can't sell out your own city, you're not going to sell out another city.
So you're saying that they're not playing everybody, they're playing their selected few from the
Saying, like, in terms of the unity of us,
right?
Like, they got their unity in their movement, but we don't have the unity as Dallas still.
As Dallas, you know what I'm saying?
Like, every other moving piece of the city is not necessarily supporting to the same level. They're watching.
And why is that so,
though? A lot of people watching, but they're not supporting.
But why?
I couldn't give you the answer because I'm not them. All I know is, like, I see a lot. I see how other people do it. And if I go look right now, some of the people in Dallas spinning Boss Man D-Lo, but they not spinning our own artists in the city. You get what I'm saying?
Wow. Do you ever work with Houston artists?
All the time.
Who are some of the Houston artists that you've worked with?
I mean, all of them. Sauce Walker, Rizzo, OTB Fastlane.
Shout out.
Yeah, Brick Wolfpack, D-Baby. I've done a ton of shit. I'm not even going to lie. Like, there's almost no artists I haven't worked with in Texas.
So you've done Mexican OT and all them?
Wow, shout out Mexican OT, man. Them names you named, them some cold names, man. Like,
but those are a lot of the younger kids, too. You don't work with a lot of the older?
Like OG artists and shit?
Yeah.
Like,
they got their own way. Who?
I don't met them, like, in studio sessions working with them, not so much, but, like, being around shows, different stuff, you know. A lot of people know me as an engineer, but they don't know about, like, all the other shit I do either. Like, I got a consulting group. I got a talent agency. I have my own label. I'm the only major independent label under The Orchard in all of Dallas.
Wow. Which,
The Orchard is Sony Music's distribution company.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like I'm so ahead of my time, like, people not really even savvy. And then for anybody looking at Instagram, like, that's really 1% of my life. Like, you're not even going to see half the shit I do because it's not really like, oh, look at me at the office filling out this paperwork. You know what I mean? Like, that's just never been me personally. But
how did you get the opportunity to work with them?
With so the Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that came through, like, a bunch of different stuff. Shout out my homie Phil. Like, Phil used to do some work with 3-6 Mafia and shit. Owned a studio out in Memphis. His dad is, like, a legendary producer engineer that did Al Green and, like, a bunch of other people. So I got, like, invited
where
in.
Where was he at? What was he?
In Memphis.
He was
or
at.
Maybe in Nashville.
No, Willie Mitchell's studio?
Royal Studios or something. You'll have to forgive me. I don't remember all the exact right now. But, like, Phil's the one that got me kind of, like, put in the door to get the invite for it because I had known Phil for years. I was actually trying to get my label set up, like, in a different capacity with another distributor. He was like, shit, I'd have gave you a label a long time ago. I knew you was trying to do this because we just had a good rapport and we both happen to be engineers. So that definitely, you know, skyrocketed my situation a little bit. And then one thing led to the next and I was streaming a lot of numbers. I've done over 10 million streams across my label catalog in like the last year probably. So that's obviously done well for me with the Orchard and with like the other people who I'm fucking with.
Wow.
And that's how long you've had your label now? Is a year?
I would say about like a year and a half. I signed the paperwork in July of 2023.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to ask you a question, man. There's some stuff going around in this city where white guys use the N-word loosely.
Oh, yeah.
Feel about the Gene. How do you feel about the N-word being used and you if you're in the room and this is going on, are you playing part with it? Are you moving away from it? How do you handle yourself? Could we just then I just mm-hmm. asked this question mm-hmm. Powell.
I mean, me personally, I don't feel like I have the right to say that or like, you know, like that's just not me, if I'm being real. So it's like people call me a different stuff, like I ain't really partake. The other people that be doing it that are white, like, I feel like that's some lame, goofy clout chasing shit. Like, I don't give a fuck what hood you in. You are not black.
That's
like,
real.
Do not say that. Like, his brother will tell you type shit. Like, he, this one white boy think he gonna call him that. Like, yo, what's up, my... I straight told him, like, call my homeboy that one more time, bro. I'm gonna knock your fucking teeth out.
Wow.
Like, you are not entitled to say that just because you feel like you from the hood. Because yeah. I promise you, I can go be in any hood right now. They not gonna ever hear me say that.
That's real. Personally. I mean, I just, it's just something that been floating around the internet. So, I mean, you know, it's something to where it's a tough thing, man, for older cats, you know, for sure, you know, to even play like that, you know, with the way we, you know, you gotta understand, man, like, I was telling her, my grandfather on the picture on there, his parents were slaves for sure. And at the end of the day, it's not that far back when you start going up that ladder. So you don't want to play those games and stir something up that could cause an issue. So everybody not going to play like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's a serious thing when you start stepping on toes. I'm not even going out here calling nobody nothing anyway, because I'm way more mature than that. And we can find better words to use.
Right.
You know, and just even in a... white this or white, it's not my thing, you know what I mean? So just no disrespect at the end of the day is the best way to, you know, handle things, I think. Mm-hmm. And when you get grown, you need to act like it, you know what I mean? You mature, you're trying to lead other people to do the right thing. But a lot of people are lost out here. How do we help people to bridge those gaps? You know, I wouldn't get mad about it as much as I would feel sorry for the person for it happening to them and nobody not educating them on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's two or three ways to look at it, to where you can dress it up in a way to where you can get angry, or you could dress up in a way that, hey, man, maybe even help a person to change.
Being honest,
you know?
Like, it don't really affect me either way, so, like, I can't really feel some type of way about something that, like, I'm not from, but I do know from my friends and different people around me, like, that's not cool. That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
Like, penitentiary rules, that definitely not finna fly.
All.
So that's why, like... I live by a little different code than most people, like, especially most white people, just being real.
Yeah, you were hanging around a lot of brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's... But it really not... Because I know the kind of the music you're doing, you know what I mean? Same as Rock T, you know? You're hanging around different brothers, and that's a lot of time. That's becomes your family, really. You know, you cross over the color barriers and say, hey, man, this family, bro, if you mess with them, we out, it's going to be a problem. And nice. I get that, but we're going to be respectful while we're moving. We're going to move right.
But with you hanging around with a lot of brothers, and then, because I know a lot of people, especially, like, if your family might not agree with that, it just depends on if... I don't know your family, but I have family members who have racism in their family and stuff like that. And, you know, when they crossed over, it started problems until children came into play then, and, you know, everybody warm up. Did you have to experience any of that?
Not really, to be honest. Like, if you trace my lineage, I'm French and Italian, so neither of my family was slave owners at any point in history. So, like, I don't know what relevancy that has, but... I just grew up maybe a little different than most. Like, I never really seen color like that, you know?
Okay, that's good. Because a lot of people, I know a lot of people who say that, you know, I can have friends out here who are black, but I can't date a black girl and bring her back home to my mama
my
or my daddy or so forth.
My sister's half black. Yeah. So
okay.
I have it in my bloodline, so, yeah.
Let's get to it, man. J-Lo, this is me. Like, how did you end up pulling that off? That's big, you know.
Yeah,
I'm married, you know, but I still, you know, J-Lo, the way she dance and all that, make a nigga, you know, nigga try to check everything out when, you know, when she on the TV, you know, a nigga pay a little more attention than looking at some of the other women on there, right? So,
Shout out to my mentor, Chris Godby. He's like a fucking dope ass engineer.
Okay.
He's been doing this shit a long time. You know, Chris is Justin Timberlake and one of Timbaland's, like, main engineers.
Okay.
I was very fortunate. When I went to college, I was, like, on track to be valedictorian. I ended up being valedictorian.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's dope.
But one of my favorite teachers, his name's Tim Kimsey. Like, he did a bunch of legendary music. He was very good friends with Chris and, like, kind of put me on, like, hey, this is my homie. Chris was, like, pull up to my studio, like, come assist me on some sessions. One thing led to the next. I end up doing, like, a ton of sessions for, like, Timbaland, Murda Beats, like, hella people. We did Chloe Bailey's album together. back in 2022, the In Pieces project we did together. And then, yeah, that's what led to me doing J-Lo's album with him. I'd like assistant engineered and helped do pretty much all the songs except for one. I think the one with Chris Brown was done by this guy, Jason Joshua, who's also like a legendary engineer in the game.
Wow. Who would you like to work with? You work with Key Glock. You work with Kodak Black. You work with a host of people in the Dallas market, a host of people in the Texas area, this region. Like, who would you like to work with most of all?
Post Malone.
Shout out to Big Tuck. You need to get with Big Tuck. He can get you over there with him, but you got to reach out. Dude, what's going on? Why you ain't got with Post Malone?
Just haven't crossed paths yet, truth be told.
Yeah? You think it's coming?
Definitely.
Wow. So I mean, you heard that Post Malone, Kill Shot try and get at you.
Have you ever been in a room or with anybody? Cause I know you travel and see a lot of celebrities and stuff like that. Have you ever been star-studded, seeing somebody and be like, you know, you lost your train of thought, you couldn't find the words to say type of thing?
At some point, yes, but not anytime recently.
Who was that back then?
Honestly, that's a very
hard one. Honestly, you scared to tell it now since you done got to be an engineer and you big timing now, so you don't want to. Let's be real. You seen Fat Bastard or Tum Tum and what?
I don't know.
It couldn't be a female celebrity that he was just like.
It's a female for sure.
Maybe.
Shout out to all the females.
It probably was like, you know, teenage years, like going to a concert and like seeing the artist close proximity and being like, oh my gosh, because they don't feel real to a degree, you know.
That's real.
But you see
that's
them
real
on like YouTube and it seems so out of reach, and then like next thing you know, like you're in the studio like with these people,
right?
And it's like now like these are my peers. Like there's almost no producer, engineer, artist that like doesn't know me or I haven't worked with, or doesn't know somebody that I work closely with. So it's like, it's just changed my perception a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, top three artists of all time, dead or alive?
Any genre.
That's fucking a crazy question.
Any genre.
Top three artists of all time. Any genre. We're going to have to put the Beatles in there.
Okay.
Yep. Definitely got to put the
Beatles
in there.
You heard me say Paul McCartney a while ago.
I think we're definitely going to have to put Michael Jackson on that list, too.
I figure that. That's one of our regular Paul
McCartney. And who is number three?
Michael Jackson are two. In terms of just pure creativity and artist skill set, you're putting me on the spot. But I would probably say I'm going to make this my personal favorite.
Okay.
It would be Young Dolph for sure.
Wow. Like, so you was a Dolph fan for
like
real?
Big time. Like that. I literally started engineering so I could work with Dolph.
Wow.
Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, and it took a long time. Like I locked in with Glock first. I did a lot of other shit. But sure enough, the Let's Go remix got Dolph on there. My name is on the credits next to Dolph. So it's like,
wow.
You know what I'm saying?
So you got what you wanted.
Eventually, I got it one way or another. And it's just a big blessing. I swear to you. I retired from music on that day, and I ended up coming back, but it was like I could have never made music again, and I'd have been fulfilled because I went on a mission to do this shit, and like I really did this shit.
Wow, man. One thing I'm going to say, man, I'm gonna get you out of here, but make sure you always know that, man, you know, Boss Talk over here, we rooting for you. You know what I'm saying? And you and Rock T and all y'all in these studios, Mr. Lee, he just walked in the building. Shout out. You know, man, we know you guys are working. We know already what, you know, we hear the music. You know what I'm saying? What do you think? Who do you think is next up in Dallas on the Big X level?
Next up on the Big X level. That's a really good question. I would say,
It's hard, ain't it?
Yeah, you know, like every artist kind of got a different. Big X is in a unique situation because he got a real anthem song. You know, that Texas song, that's something that we going to play here for the next 100 years probably.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing missing, this is what I'll say, the biggest thing missing from the next artist trying to do it is those hit records with the familiarity. And that's something like the New Dallas artists done very well. They got these very familiarized samples in their music and shit that it's like, you know the song before you know the song. And then they come talking that shit on the song. So you like, oh, okay, I fuck with this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So you he done slid out the question. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Yeah. I get it. You don't want to X nobody out. Because you work with a lot of people.
Truth be told, I think a lot of people are on an even playing field. Yeah. Right now, there's not a lot of separating factors from anybody. I'd love to just give you the one, but like I'm waiting for them to show me they the one, really, because it's kind of even.
Wow. Thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. How can people get a hold of you if they're trying to reach out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instagram, @KillshotENG. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, man. And like I said, man, let me know when Keeglock come back. I need him on Boss Talk. If you ever talk to him again.
We're going to try to
And I'm going to work on some stuff, too. I ain't really just reach out to him like I could, you know. Shout out to Gutter TV, too. He another one that I always rock out with him down there. He always be on the show, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, bro.
I appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate it.
Man, like I said, I wanted to get you in here, man. You did what you're supposed to do. And it's time to shut this down, man. Check it out, man. It's been another great segment of Boss Talk 101, where the bosses talk.
And we out.